Welcome to the Health Ranger Report here on Brighteon.com and Brighteon.tv. I'm Mike Adams, and today we're joined by Dr. Anna Marie Mihalcea, who is an expert. She's been analyzing the strange substances that are being found not only in vaccinated individuals, but also the live blood analysis of, in some cases, even unvaccinated people. This is rather frightening. We're going to talk about shedding and potentially exotic technology and what may be forming in people's bodies after being injected with these mRNA, so-called clot shots. So she goes by Dr. Anna, and she has a Substack page. We'll put that here on screen for you. Dr. Anna, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate your work, and I really look forward to asking you what you found. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much. And I want to say that I'm so grateful to you, Mike, because you're the only one who actually analyzed the clots. And that analysis was hugely important for all of us. And your courage and your commitment to humanity is phenomenal. I want to thank you so much.
Wow. Well, that I'm humbled by you saying that. I mean, I feel like you're doing the same thing too. There's so many people in this space who are trying to find out the truth of this. And we all see what's happening. We see the deaths, we see the disabilities, we see the cover-ups, the lies of the establishment, and how they're trying to silence all of us. And they've tried to silence you as well. But thanks to Substack and independent media, you've been able to get the message out. So let's start from the beginning then. Give us an overview of what you're finding that's raising the most red flags in your mind, please.
So I'm part of an international research group who looked at the vials. Part of those are Dr. David Nixon, for example, who's done dark field microscopy. And he's done some very special analysis on the vials in regards to the fact that he's done it over a long period of time, over months, has exposed microscope slides to many different conditions, for example, EMF radiation, and then has done time-lapse video. And what he found was that out of the contents of the vials, microchips and strange ribbons are developing. There's another scientist in our group, Dr. Shimon Janovitz, who incubated the contents of the different vaccines, including the Moderna shot, the Pfizer. And he actually found that by raising the temperature out of the lipid nanoparticles, these strange structures would grow. And then other engineers like Matt Taylor from Ecuador have actually reproduced this independently. And so there's 26 teams worldwide who've looked at the vials, and they've found high levels of all kinds of metal contaminants, including things like cesium, barium, aluminum, tungsten, all kinds of different metals. And what was very interesting is that some of the researchers, for example, Dr. Daniel Nagaz, didn't find any mRNA, no molecules of life. Kevin McKern, Steve Kirsch, none of them found mRNA. And even the European Medical Commission admitted that the mRNA does not conform to label, that there are RNA fragments, there's DNA contamination, proteins. And what my whole endeavor has been in educating people is to say, look, if we have vials that don't even contain mRNA, then how come that people are getting sick? And what else do we need to consider in our detox protocols? So in the beginning of this rollout of these jabs, the vaccinated blood also was found to be highly abnormal with rouleau formation, meaning clumping of the blood, and then these strange ribbon-like structures. Now we see that the live blood analysis of unvaccinated people is exactly the same. I do dark fields microscopy, live blood analysis, and my unvaccinated patients have, all of them are contaminated with these structures. I'm also a certified chelation practitioner, so I do EDTA chelation and I pull out metals out of people. And the amount of metals from things like geoengineering, like aluminum, barium, but also tungsten, which by Mark Steele has been identified as a metal specifically used as a weapon, uranium, all kinds of other metals I find and I pull this out. And so my
wait a second, Dr. Yes. Anna, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I mean, we just can't pass over that bombshell that you said earlier, which is that you're finding these in unvaccinated people.
Absolutely.
So we need to try to understand in your model of what's happening, how is this happening in the bodies of unvaccinated people, but then seemingly related to vaccines? How is this happening? Because the vaccines themselves may not even contain all these things. There seems to be some element of self-assembly happening. Is that correct? And then answer, how is this happening in unvaccinated people potentially?
Yes. So the substance called PEG, polyethylene glycol, is the component of hydrogel. Hydrogel is what's called programmable matter that has the ability to self-assemble and grow. In fact, if exposed to electrical current or electromagnetic fields, it is able to grow from nano size to centimeter size in minutes.
Wow.
This hydrogel has been shown that if it is combined with different metals, can actually be used to create soft robotics, meaning it creates microchips, biosensors, and other electronic devices that are made from synthetic biology and now are injected into humans. As to the source of this, is I believe that there is a physical type of shedding. It's not just an electromagnetic contamination from the vaccinated to the unvaccinated, because clearly some of my patients have done tests where they had their blood cleaned up with EDTA IV chelation. We have shown in live blood analysis that they had no structures, no acidity, no microclotting. They exposed themselves to a vaccinated people and then came in the next day to get a live blood analysis. And their blood was completely changed, full of what's called rouleau formation, clumping of the blood. And many of these, what I believe are hydrogel, carbon nanotubes, combination structures in their blood.
So wait a second. Are you saying that what is shedding is not these substances themselves, but rather instructions for the body to build these substances? Is that what's your best theory of this?
I personally do think that there is something physically transferring. We have found these structures in human sweat, in human urine. We have found it in sputum, so people are coughing it out. We've seen it in blood. But then the problem is also that the similar chemical substances are being inhaled. For example, they're being sprayed through geoengineering. They are in the food supply, as we know. So the issue, for example, with geoengineering was there was in the 1990s, a synthetic biology emerged called Morgellons.
And I'm very familiar with Morgellons, yeah.
Yes, it was a fiber, an artificial fiber that people were exposed to and then they developed strange rashes. They were all labeled that they were psychotic. But it turns out that Clifford Carnican did chemical analysis on this. And this fiber structure was made from polyvinyl alcohol, which is hydrogel.
Wow.
And it also developed nanotechnology structures in the form of octagons, just like we're seeing now in the C19 shots. So what I'm saying is that the transhumanist agenda of transforming humans into cyborg, uploading it to us to the cloud, and really changing the entire planetary system via these heavy metals that change electrical conductivity, which is part of all of nature, and then using the synthetic biology, has been going on for 30 years. And the vaccination campaign is really just the final stage of now getting getting it under the skin. But it's been shown that Morgellons fibers were found in people who never had symptoms. We're inhaling this stuff.
Okay, can you hold on a second? Let me give out your website again. It's called Dr. Anna's Newsletter. It's on Substack, and we'll put it on screen for you. It's a subdomain of substack.com. So what you said, Dr. Anna, I mean, this is extraordinary, and I think you're on the right track, that the vaccines are just the latest chapter of this, frankly, a genocidal campaign against humanity that's been going on for decades in various ways. It's just that the technology has reached a point now where they're able to be more, you know, clever and covert in the vectors that they use to introduce this into the human body. You mentioned food in particular, so I want to ask you about that. Our readers are familiar with things like RNA interference technology that's used as an insecticide of sorts in food. They're also familiar with the fact that mRNA injections are now beginning in ranch animals. So there's going to be mRNA infection in the meat supply, which is frightening to a lot of people. How deadly is the food supply going, or maybe dead is not the right word, or how dangerous or how contaminated is the food supply going to be? And how urgent is it that people grow their own food or get local, you know, local ranch animal meat? I mean, and stop shopping from the centralized food giants. If I know that's a big question, but take it wherever you want. Go ahead.
I think that's an immediate need if you want to survive this war and assault on humanity. The food supply has been contaminated for a long time. There are studies, for example, you might remember the baby food story, that 95% of all baby cereals have heavy metals in them. Heavy metals are highly toxic. They cause mitochondrial dysfunction, meaning they make you age faster. And these metals accumulate in your body. We know about glyphosate. We know about so many other toxins. So it's imperative that we grow our own food. And what's really important to understand is that because of this geoengineering program where they are spraying toxic metals like aluminum, like barium, strontium, all kinds of things, that deposits in the earth. So even if you have a garden outside, your organic food can still be contaminated.
True.
And it's
That's
extremely
right.
important to also look at the water supply. I would not drink city water, you know, make sure that you're on a well. I think that these things are really, really important to understand, that if you want to be healthy, you need to have healthy food, healthy water.
I completely agree with you. And it raises so many questions in the minds of people. Even how can you, if you collect your own rainwater, what about the chemical fallout and the dioxins and the vinyl chloride or whatever else is falling out from Ohio or other industrial accidents? You know, how do you properly filter that rainwater? Now, I know that rainwater is by far the cleanest source of water in terms of the testing, you know, versus well water, which is really contaminated, and city water has other chemicals. But rainwater is not perfect. You still have to filter out, you know, volatile organic compounds in some cases, or so-called forever chemicals, things that can be in the rainwater. What do you tell people to do? I mean, all these inputs that go into growing food, they have to be clean themselves or you don't get a clean product.
Well, I tell them exactly what I said. You know, you do what you can, but you can no longer really, you know, go shopping and eat in fast food chain restaurants and expect to be healthy, because there's such an assault on our health everywhere. And we found these ribbon-like structures in rainwater as well. That's been analyzed by Matt Taylor in Ecuador. So there's been atmospheric analysis, certainly, of the rainwater with all these metals. So I believe that the air is an important, way of how we are contaminated. So I've come to the conclusion that because of this assault from shedding, from geoengineering, from the environmental poisoning of the food supply, you know, we know from even bottled water, if you put an electrical current into that, there's all kinds of things that metal contaminates that become evident, that you have to do whatever you can to detoxify. I'm a huge proponent of this EDTA because it dissolves dissolves the hydrogel, pulls out the metal, and it has been shown to help with the graphene. But I think it's really important to understand that there's a broader picture here than just, you know, the spike protein narrative, and that clearly the unvaccinated aren't safe. I want to say something about vinyl chloride, which was one of the big chemicals in this spill that then was set fire to, and all these dioxins are falling out. So vinyl chloride is used extremely commonly in the medical industry for all kinds of plastics, for syringes, for IV bags, and it turns out it's also used as a hydrogel. So it is being injected into people again as a soft robotics. And if you consider that vinyl chloride acute exposure can cause death and respiratory depression and brain dysfunction, all kinds of problems, I think it's important to understand that these components that we're calling hydrogel and that are now ever expandingly put into all medical injectables and we found it in insulin, for example, and other people have found it in anesthetics, that these things are also bombarding the human body, and people need to understand how toxic they can be.
Absolutely.
I want to explain real quick. Hydrogel is a homeostatic, meaning it can actually clot your blood. And because of its self-assembling features, it's been clearly shown to grow. And as you know, I've even seen an unvaccinated person with extremely long clot that looked just like the vaccinated blood clots. And I'm very concerned about its relationship to 5G rollout in particular. I think that the more EMF exposure people have, the more they are prone to grow these things in their live blood and cause severe dysfunction.
Yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because I've talked to other experts who believe that the vaccines can contain instructions to build a platform, but then the platform activation is accentuated or augmented by 5G. I mean, that's a theory that I've heard. I don't have any proof that that's happening, but it certainly is a plausible theory, because we've seen all the research about the external magnetic field instructions or implications for nanowires and things like that. But I want to mention something. I believe the first I read of your Substack, you were wondering if we might be able to assist with some lab testing. And I want to offer that here publicly and also announce something really exciting that you can use as well. So yes, we can test. We have two ICP-MS instruments, elemental analysis, mass spec, very high sensitivity, sub parts per billion sensitivity for a limit of detection. And we would love to process some samples that you might provide and give you those results as an ISO accredited lab report. So I want to mention that, and it's something we'll offer to you. But then secondly, and this is brand new, we are adding what's called atmospheric pressure gas chromatography interface, or APGC, to our tandem mass spec, or triple quad as it's called. And within about 90 days, it looks like we're going to be able to test for dioxins. And that's a new instrument. It's going to require training and an install and everything, or it's a new interface. But at that time, we could do testing for you on samples, but not blood. So we're not equipped to handle blood or urine or body fluids, but I'm talking environmental samples, soil, food, water, groceries, anything like that. So would like to offer that to you here publicly, if that can be of service to you.
Thank you so much, Mike. And your work is so important because, again, even with this fallout, what are people going to do in terms of, even fresh fruits and vegetables having dioxins, we know in extremely low concentrations have huge toxicities. So, the only way to really understand whether or not the food supply is safe is to do this kind of testing that you're offering. So thank you so much for all that you're doing, and in this time of crisis that you're able to step forward and actually do this for people, and I appreciate it. And if there are samples to be tested, I'm definitely going to get back to you. Thank you.
Yeah, please do. You have contact with our producers so they can give you a shipping address and the proper way to address it to get to our lab, and you and I can be in touch. In fact, I'd like to get you my mobile number so we can keep in touch about any important breaking news. We're about to wrap up this interview for today, which is way too short, so we'll ask you back. But what are your final thoughts today that you think, what's the most important thing for people to take away from this?
Do anything that you can for detoxification, nutritional supplementation with clean nutrients, whatever you can in regards to, your clean way of living, but also take care of your mind and spirit and keep your spirits up. These are very challenging times. I believe that things are going to get worse, and that only as we are, rallying and continue to fight for our freedom, will we make it through this time. So thank you so much for your contribution to everything.
Well, thank you, Dr. Anna. You're doing extraordinary work, and please thank all your colleagues as well, and know that we're at your service. We've got this new studio here. We're able to do a lot more interviews now. Still working out a few bugs here and there, but we're able to do more interviews so we can interview you and some of your colleagues. I want to give out your website again. We're going to put it on screen. It's called Dr. Anna's Newsletter. It's on substack.com, and it's Dr. Anna Marie Mihailcha. But it's an unusual, it's a difficult spelling for English people. Let's just put it that way. So you'll have to look for Dr. Anna's Newsletter. Does anybody spell your name correctly the first time, if American wise, or is that just?
No, and this is why I've given up, and I just called myself Dr. Anna because Perfect. Nobody can say my last name. So I'm compassionate towards that.
That's great. Well, we appreciate you and all your work. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please keep in touch. And I'm serious about that offer of lab testing. So let's keep in touch and let's get some samples from you and see what we can do to help, help people live a clean life, as clean as possible in this toxic world. Thank you so much, Dr. Anna.
Thank you for having me.
All right, thank you. And for those of you watching, feel free to share this interview, as always, on other channels and other platforms. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, and you can find my work and coverage of this interview and other interviews at naturalnews.com. Be sure to also check out Brighteon.tv, where I believe Dr. Anna will be a frequent guest with some of our other hosts on our broadcast channels there, Brighteon.tv. and BrighteonRadio.com. Thank you for joining me today. God bless you, everyone. Be safe. Take care.